Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Y'all, we're here for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. A little basketball to talk about. Aaron Gershon, the Cat's Paws, at all the games, at all the pressers, got all the scoop, got all the stories. Check him out at thecatspaws.com. Look, he's been busy on Twitter today, agershon99. Follow that timeline for all the latest news. What's going on, AG?
Yeah, man. You know, we were just talking about it with David Bouvier and Jalen Whitlow. It's a crazy time with football, and it's almost kind of like a nice, the reporter part of me, that basketball, it's a little slow right now. Obviously not going to London and get to watch that game from the couch a little bit and cover it from here. And man, yeah, last night we'll dive into, I think the Bellarmine games, maybe we talked after North Florida maybe. So I'm thinking that we really could just focus on this Bellarmine game and then obviously get into Michigan here. But man, it was for a game that was 60-41 and ugly and vomit on both sides. there's a lot to break down and talk about. And it was an interesting night at Rupp Arena last night.
Yeah. And as always, you can get all these episodes on Believe.com, wherever you get your podcasts as well. Go straight to the site or go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, CastBox, all those different platforms, YouTube, TuneIn, SiriusXM, so many different ways to get us on Believe in Kentucky, and we are proud to bring the episodes to you. Follow us on Twitter at Believe in Kentucky, and tweet at us if you like the show, or if you want to hear a certain guest, maybe we can try to have them on, or if you got comments, all that good stuff, we'd love to hear your input. Give us a 5-star rating on, you know, Apple Podcasts or a comment, all that kind of stuff. We definitely would appreciate it and interact with you and all that good stuff. This is the basketball episode, like we mentioned, and it was Bellarmine coming in. They had already advanced. If you got the Kentucky State Championship bracket, they beat Louisville a couple weeks ago.
They lost to Moorhead, though.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They came to Lexington after being, I mean, road weary isn't the word.
Yeah, it was unreal what they did.
Yeah, unbelievable. All the, you know, Duke, UCLA, Kentucky, Carroll, Poly Pavilion, Rupp Arena. You know, Scotty Davenport was so grateful and appreciative of and really honed that in on his players as to what they just got to do from a basketball history standpoint.
Absolutely. And obviously, it still hurts for them that they weren't able to participate in the NCAA tournament or even at least the NIT last year when they, you know, won the A-Sun tournament their first year at Division I. And, you know, this year, I don't think they're as good a team. But they wouldn't even have the chance, which is just, you know, I thought Cal did a pretty good job talking about that after the game. Disagreed with some other things, but I thought he was spot on about how with that one and talking about how it really does. It's, you know, I get the rule, but it doesn't. The game's supposed to be about the players at the end of the day, and it's not benefiting the players. You know, it's now that COVID waiver is over. You know, unless you redshirt, you're not gonna. You know, you have 4 true years now, so it's really a bummer for the kids like the Kurt Hope who we saw hit some threes last night. He was actually a guy I covered while I was in Indiana at a paper for a year. Sucks for him. He's not going to play in the NCAA tournament if he stays there for 4 years. And, you know, it's stuff like that that bothers me. But, yeah, props to what Bellarmine's endured. And, man, did they give Kentucky a fight for about 30 minutes there last night.
Yeah, and they have been on the West Coast. Like I said, just played UCLA.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Just got back into Louisville. They were in the Atlanta airport in the wee hours, getting back to campus and walkthroughs and all that.
Right.
Kentucky's been off for over a week, and you think, well, hey, man, just take it to these dudes whose legs are shot and all that. And that did not happen.
Not at all, man. First of all, I mean, we'll start positive. The defense played a pretty, really good game. I mean, whenever you hold someone to 41 points, I think – it was the lowest total they've allowed in a game since that West Virginia slaughtering in the Sweet 16 back in 2015. So I'll start with that. Great defense. But, man, I guess Bellarmine's style of offense is so wacky how they hold on to the ball for the full 30 seconds. And they try to, you know, you mentioned legs being tired for Bellarmine. They try to tire out you. And it did. I mean, you saw Sahvir Wheeler at the end of the game get cramped up. Other guys were checking themselves out. Cramped up. So, you know, it really affected Kentucky. And I don't know, again, we could talk about the preparation of that and get into a whole ordeal. We won't go there. But all in all, to hold them to 41 points is a great job. Offensively, 21 points at the half, you know, 28 points midway through that first half. Just unacceptable, man. There were so many turnovers and bad possessions and bad lineups. And it was just, it was a total disaster until, you know, midway through that second half when, you know, CJ Frederick got a few shots to go and Antonio Reeves got going a little bit and they pulled away. I mean, it was sloppy. There was a lack of energy. Really, to be honest with you, being in the building, the team was absolutely lethargic and the crowd, you know how Rupp is. It's a very intelligent crowd. I've always been impressed with how intelligent, as dumb as some of them sound on Twitter, Kentucky basketball fans that show up at Rupp Arena are pretty smart people, including the students and everyone in that, you know, everyone in that arena. And they really picked up the noise. They brought it, and it kind of carried the team to that 18-3 run that let them put things away. But, man, it was the offense sloppy and bad and every negative adjective I could give you. And the energy, even Antonio Reeves told us after the game, he felt the energy was down in that first half, and that's concerning. And, you know, at the end of the day, when there's a lack of energy and a lack of, like, a seemingly there of a game plan, it falls on the head coach. Like, I hate, it sounds lazy to just blame Cal, but, man, and I know he's not the one taking the shots, but there were so many issues last night. You almost forget they won the game.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And it's, we're still, you know, Michigan is a name, recognizing, and you go to London and do that. So that's, I think Larry Vaught was on with Tom Leach, and you know he took the Calism. You know, you can't make, you won't make every shot, but you can't miss them all.
Yeah, he's right about that.
Larry said, "Well, you might not win every big game, but you can't lose them all either." So we're still
damn right.
A win against a marquee opponent in a big game.
Sure.
Michigan is, you know, like I said, in name only, Power 5, Big 10 opponent. UCLA, Kansas still coming up, you know, so still looking. And
you got to get it done, yeah.
Michigan should have beat Virginia last night at home. They were up 11 at the half, and that lead evaporated
sure
in an instant in the second half. They lost by 2, so they'll be coming off of a loss. Kentucky's, we've seen this in football a lot, fast starts. We need to see a faster start on the basketball court too.
Yeah, because if they play like they did in the first half against Bellarmine, they're not beating Michigan. The hole would be too much. I mean, I knew it was going to be a rough night when the first three possessions of the game were Sahvir Wheeler turnover, Sahvir Wheeler turnover, Sahvir Wheeler air ball layup. I mean, it was just such a disaster early on. And I'm not trying to pick on him. It just happened to go in that order. Yeah. But it was just – it was a disastrous offensive showing. And my biggest gripe is that one lineup that Cal worked, and it was the most obvious 2 minutes where they didn't score a point. It was Sevier, CJ Frederick, Damian Collins, Chris Livingston, and Lance Ware. Like, what are you trying to accomplish in that? It's 2022. You got to have at least two capable shot makers, if not more. I would say you really need three or four on the floor. But you need multiple capable shot makers that, you know, as soon as that lineup went out, they double-teamed CJ. They let Sevier shoot whatever the hell he wants because they know he's only going to make it 30% of the time. And, you know, Lance Ware doesn't do much offensively. Damian Collins, I feel for him. I don't know. I can't imagine what he's going through. He's just not playing great basketball right now. There's no other way to put it. And Chris Livingston is a freshman who is a great hustle player, but he's not a shot maker at this point in his career. It was just, what are you trying to accomplish? It felt like Kentucky was trying to work on things in practice during a game that counted. And that makes you question, what the hell were you doing for 6 days when you had a game? You didn't have, like you said, Vinny, they were well rested. They didn't have a game. And, you know, they probably got Thanksgiving off, and deservingly so, and all that good stuff. But what were they working on that they felt the need to have that lineup play 2 minutes together and, of course, score 0 points? It was the most obvious 0 point sequence you're ever going to see. And it just, some of the lineups, man, and we talked about it, I think it was last week, and the comment Cal made on his radio show about wanting to put Lance and Oscar out there together. It's just like, I just don't get what's going on. I really, really am concerned that, you know, you see all these older coaches leaving the game now, and you see how their programs are. I mean, you look at what Hubert Davis did year one, and Roy Williams, Hall of Fame coach, you know, same with Cal, but it's just, what is going on here? It is very concerning offensively. And that's why I think on our last podcast, I don't remember if it was during the show or after, Bouvier asked me if I thought they were going to turn it around. I'm like, if they hire an offensive coordinator.
That is the talk of BBN for sure. And that's been true all season in football. And now it's kind of carrying over. The Cal and the Colin show, or maybe, yeah, I think it was, said they had worked on late game situation stuff.
Yeah. Which is good because they were a disaster in that area.
Yeah, that's what.
But how about, like, did I tell you last week that comment that CJ Frederick made where him and Antonio had never practiced together? Like, you've shown. It's their best lineup is when those two are on the floor. We saw it yesterday. And I hope at least in those 6 days, those two were practicing together and they didn't screw that one up. It's just, I really think the issues Kentucky's having is putting the right combination of guys on the floor. And then just, you know, some, again, not all the issues are Cal's fault, because there are shots that guys are either taking with poor judgment or they're not taking when they should. But it's mostly an offensive issue. And when it's like an offensive philosophy, it's not just like one guy or two guys struggling. That's why you turn to the coach and rip the coach.
And there's lots of ways to do stuff, but he's talked positionless over the years. And
right.
He was asked about small ball with Livingston at the four and Toppin at the five.
Yeah.
The reluctance still seems like it's there. I mean, he thought, well, maybe we might do this, or we could do that, we could do this. And we come back a lot to what can they do defensively. We don't want to just trade baskets. But you also got them. You got to make baskets, you know. And if the best defensive lineup doesn't give you any buckets, I mean, sometimes you
– right.
Give up something to get something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit when you're scoring as well.
Yeah, it's all about points at the end of the day. I mean, you nailed it. You have the guys who are capable of outscoring you, and you don't put them on the floor together. So, no, that's a great point. And I think another thing, too, you know, I made that point about how it felt like they were practicing during a game that counted. they seem like they weren't trying to feed Oscar as much because they know they can't run an offense through him, like against the good teams. And obviously part of that too was Oscar just had an off night offensively. I mean, he missed some bunnies last night, just out of character. Everyone's going to have a bad day is what it is. But I think they were trying to work on that, where they were not feeding Oscar as much, kind of. It was just like, I don't know. I think the ideal lineup, like I said, you have one guy in the paint you could rely on. And really right now it's just Oscar, because Jacob Toppin, I saw a lot of the comparisons to Alex Porthos, and I honestly wish I could tell you more if I agreed with that or not, just because I'd have to go watch a lot of those games make that a fair assessment. But with Toppin last year, a lot of his offensive game was 18 footers, some threes, and be that threat as a shooting four. This year, they want to move him in more because he's so physically gifted. He can make those shots on occasion, but if he adds that to his game too, you know, that's going to make him a first round pick, and that's going to make him an elite player. So his reluctancy to kind of play around the rim and make some things happen down low and do the dirty work, if he could do that, then yeah, you can have him and Oscar on the floor together or have one or the other. But it's like, they're in a position right now, man, where it's, you can't, Oscar's going to play like 38 minutes just so you have a post presence, because no one else is capable. And then you got to surround him with at least 2-3 shooters. So it would be like CJ and Antonio. And then, you know, either Cason Wallace or Sevier Wheeler have to be on the floor. I would lean toward playing Cason more, but he's a freshman and Sevier's a great passer. And then you figure out what you're going to do with the 4-3 spot. It's just a mess right now. But all I know is this team is overly reliant on Oscar right now. You can't win in present day basketball going through a big, like, look at Gonzaga. They go through Drew Timmy and they're not winning championships. They've gone through them 3 years in a row. Him and Chet Holmgren last year, they were their team and they went through them and they didn't win. Hunter Dickinson's a great player. They don't win at Michigan. They don't win championships. You know, elite guard play wins championships, and they got to get that.
Yeah, because as good as Oscar is, and good, as great a year as he had last year,
it ended in a one and done.
Still raw offensively. He's still
yes.
Learned and still doesn't have go to. Well, if you know. He knows he can do this and get a bucket. He's not to that point yet. He's still a work in progress offensively. And the Toppin Porthos athleticism, both of them lack consistent aggressiveness.
Yes, grit is the word that Cal used, and he's right. Yeah.
And as unaggressive as Porthos was, I think he was still more aggressive than Toppin has been to this point.
Right. Yeah, that's why I was going to ask you what you remembered on that. Because, again, it was a little – I was still in Connecticut, so I didn't watch every game like I would while I'm here. But it's just
– It was – I think it might have been Porthos' first game. They were playing Duke. Somebody shot a jumper and missed, and he went in and just got the nastiest, most aggressive tip putback dunk over like two or three guys. He was just tearing
it. And Jacob Toppin, that's the thing. You see the way Toppin finishes at the rim when there's no one in the area. He's a high flyer. He's a guy who, you know, when he's in the NBA, even if he's a second-round pick, he's going to be like Hamidou Diallo. He's going to be in the dunk contest.
Right.
It's just he's going to be stronger than definitely during this part of the schedule. Maybe Hunter Dickinson can body him a little bit, but he's going to be stronger than a lot of the guys he faces all year long just because he's that talented.
Yeah.
And he's got to be able to trust that.
Yeah, Dickinson is a load. But Porthos, that first game had, in for all the old people out here, he had everybody thinking, this second coming to Sean Kemp, this dude.
Right.
I mean, this, and there was, you'd see spurts of it, and then he would just kind of disappear, and he kind of just fade away. It just, you know, is it motor? Is it whatever you want to call it? It just wasn't there all the time. So
right.
But, yeah, Toppin, like Cal called him out, and Toppin said all the right things.
Yeah, Toppin did say all the right things.
So we'll see if a fire gets lit under him, and because, you know, he's put in a lot of work, and hopefully
he can
show some of this work and reap some of the benefits of all this work in a game situation.
And he's a leader on this team. I mean, I think we both praised his comments after the Gonzaga game, you know, talking about how guys – you know, weren't stepping up and they couldn't, you know, I don't want to quote him because I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, he called his team out and he called himself out too. He was being a leader and, you know, you got to walk that walk, right? You know, if you're going to be a credible leader, you got to say what you mean. And so, you know, he knows that, and he's got to start showing it. And he's got a hell of an opportunity against Hunter Dickinson on Sunday. And then, you know, UCLA is coming up, and so is, so is SEC play.
Mm-hmm. He quote tweeted Cal Tucker because Cal didn't put the quote about Jacob saying,
me. Yeah, he wanted to make sure he knew that. He included it.
You know, he's owning stuff and, you know, trying to put the onus on himself, like you said, as a good leader should, not like Zach Wilson, but so.
Right.
And Cal, to what? I think after the post-game presser or whatever it was, but he said, you know, he still says we got a good team and all this. We're right. going to break out. So we'll see if they
– see it, man.
That's what – you know, everybody's kind of waiting to see it.
Yeah, and again, what's so frustrating, we talked about it, I think, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, is, you know, on the grand scheme of things, you know, these games don't make or break the season – but they come back to bite you in March when you're not playing when and where you want to play. Right now, it's very, very early, but bracketology is pretty accurate, I would say, in the seeding lines, not the opponents, but the seeding lines. And right now, Kentucky's resume is that of a 60. I mean, that's what Joe Lunardi has them at. And that dropped from a 4 a week ago and a number one overall to start the year. So, you know, if you have a 6-seed resume, it's time to get to work, man. You got to beat Michigan on Sunday. You got to at least play UCLA really well. Probably need to win that game. But because, the SEC is very top heavy this year. You've got the big boys. You've got Arkansas. You've got Auburn. You've got Tennessee. And you've got Alabama. You've got the mid LSU team, maybe Mississippi State, Missouri. It's kind of early to tell if they're for real or not. They haven't played anybody yet. And then you've got some just bad teams this year. There's a lot of rebuilding going on in the league with new coaches. So you got to stack these dubs. And they missed two opportunities, and they got to cash in on the two they've got left. And, you know, that's the downside. Like, Kentucky fans, and I get it, trust me, love that Louisville's 0-7. And, it's funny. It's great. If Louisville was good, that's a resume-building win you could get. Now you beat them, it's like as good as beating Bellarmine and at Florida A&M. So it's like, you know, you don't have that many opportunities to stack that resume left just because of the way the SEC is going to be and the way, you know, you have Kansas, UCLA, and Michigan State. You've got to go at least 2-1 in those three games, if you ask me.
And if that Louisville game is close at the half,
yeah, if that game's close after 10 minutes, man, they're going to be calling for – yeah, that's why part of me is like, please – I don't want to be in the Las Vegas Bowl because I want to go to New York, but please put us in Texas or Memphis. That way I can get to that because I just want to feel the crowd. I know the result should be what the result everyone thinks is going to be, including the folks down the road in Louisville, but – man, if that game's close, you should have heard Rupp last night, man. There were some boos and some words I can't say on here. There's some very pissed off fans, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, so I know, you know, Kenny is your boy and he was your assistant for a little bit. You can't fool around and let this game be close.
No, you got to bury them, man. You got to do what you've done to them. They buried them in 2017. They buried them in 2018. The game at Rupp last time went to overtime, but that was a Louisville team ranked number one at one point that year. So it was a talented Louisville team. And then, you know, your last game against them, you lost actually the COVID year. They kind of dodged you last year, like Jacob Toppin likes to say. So, you know, you gotta just no mercy there. Like you said, there's a friendship between the coaches, but you gotta step on their throats. You gotta really have some style points. That's why, you know, it was really good to see them beat up on the first four non-conference games, or not cupcake games. They're all non-conference so far, but that's that Bellarmine game against the team that's in the, you know, tier four back half of the back 20 of the KenPom. You can't have close games against them. You just can't. It hurts your resume, and that's all what this all about. I mean, other than figuring themselves out, this is all resume stacking. Like Purdue, they're got to be feeling pretty good. UConn, they got to be feeling pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Even Missouri and Mississippi State, who are trying to get in, they got to be feeling pretty good because that they're cleaning up and, you know, putting themselves in a better tier. So it's just frustrating. They got to get this win on Sunday. And like I said, 2-1 in those Michigan, UCLA, Kansas games at worst has got to be the case.
Yeah, because that's – you know, you're a Yankees fan. It's like Yogi Berra used to say, it gets late early. So
that's damn right. Yeah, I mean, you can lose the season early. You can't win it early. You can lose. We saw what happened in during the COVID year. They started 1-6. The season was over. Even when they got on a little heater, they won. I think they won their first three conference games, and the season was still over. You knew they weren't going to be able to catch up enough to get back in that dance. And I'm not saying this is a Kentucky team that's going to miss the NCAA tournament. But you could be a Kentucky team that's kind of like in a 2014 situation where you're an 8 seed. Absolutely. That's where that's the hole you're in right now if you don't get these wins.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen them gel late before. You hope you don't have
for sure.
But
yeah, you don't want last year they peaked early.
With this veteran team, you didn't expect to see
some right.
Need to gel. You know, we roll our eyes at what he said, you know, the video with the DJ.
The PSA.
Shirt and all that, be patient and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, nobody wanted to hear that. And everybody's still having to be patient. But, you know, Oscar wasn't here and you didn't have. But it still seems like more out of sorts than you would think.
I think it's – I mean, when he said that, I knew he was going to – I knew it was going to be accurate because he's not going to say that. He's a blunt guy. That's one thing I really respect about him. But I didn't think it would be 60 points against the defense that can't slow down, stop a nose. I mean, Loyola Marymount put 85 on them, man. 85 from Loyola Marymount. They gave up 50 to Campbellsville Harrisburg, an NAIA team. That was the lowest total of the year, and they're in the NAIA. And Kentucky didn't even get to 50 to like midway through the second half, if not later than that. It was like in the 40th minute, not 40th minute, in the 35th minute. So it's got to be better. They got to have some. I mean, this Michigan team is, I know they gave Virginia a hard time, and you said that game was in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah.
So they probably had a pretty good home court. They usually do up there. I think they got to win this game by double digits. I don't know what the line is on this game. I don't know if it's out. I know like ESPN's FPI has them like 86% chance to win it. They're the better team and they got to show it. And if they could show it against a quality Michigan program that has been deep in the tournament the last couple of years, even if it ends up not being the greatest year for Michigan, it will help at the end of the day. You got to have some style points. On Sunday, in my opinion, I think you need a 10 win. You kind of similar to what Gonzaga did to you. That would be huge, I think. Yeah. And it would be huge for the confidence.
Yep. That's right. Absolutely. So Sunday at 1 o'clock our time.
Oh, and that's the worst time ever, man. It's NFL Sunday. Really? Like I'm contemplating how I want to watch. Like the Giants are not getting the small screen on NFL Sunday. So I'll figure it out.
Who the Giants got?
Washington. It's a huge game. The way our whole division, man, your Cowboys, my Giants. It was a better Thanksgiving game than I thought. I mean, didn't think they'd win. I thought it would go the way it did. But the whole division's in the playoffs right now. We were the laughing stock of the league forever. Now we're it's back to the 80s NFC East.
Let them laugh. It's not even close. The most prestigious division.
Oh, yeah.
In history, so.
It's really cool right now.
It's not going to be down forever. And I still make fun of the Eagles because they only contributed one Super Bowl to this.
Correct.
And I hate it, but I got to root for the Titans Sunday. If we can get Tennessee to knock Philly off, that'd help us all.
That'd help all costs, man. Yeah, and the Giants beating Washington would be huge to getting that last playoff spot or one of the last two spots. So it it's fun right now in the NFC East.
Lawrence Taylor tweeted out y'all's gonna be all right. So
that's what that calmed me down. A lot of injuries. Like I said, when they were up at halftime, it was like playing with house money at that point. So kudos to Dallas. But I'm looking forward to Sunday. And it's bowl reveal day. It's just going to be a wild day.
It's that time of year, man. It's just everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything. That's right.
We'll keep up with all of it and keep up with the Cats on the basketball episodes and the football episodes and, you know, all things UK here on Believe in Kentucky. You know, follow Aaron at AGershon99 and read his work at the Cats Paws. He does great stuff. And look, man, he's, you know, panda stories with the football happenings that we talked about in the other episode. When the basketball heats up, he'll be there as well. So just follow him, keep up with everything. Keep tuning in to us, tell your friends about us, and hope you enjoy the episode. Get yourself some merch. Cat Daddy's got shirts, shop.believe.com. And if you go to Sea of Blue, all our episodes will be there as well. So we appreciate everybody listening and tuning in and checking us out all the ways you consume the podcast. AG, man, be safe. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all again.
Yes, sir.
Y'all be good. It's been another episode of Believe in Kentucky, and we'll holler at y'all next time.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.